1012. The Lord is risen indeed, often known as the Easter anthem. It's a little heavier song, a little more choral, but there's a lot of repeats in the song, and may I just point them out. On the first page, the fourth line, "Now is Christ risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept." You see the two little dots in the staff there. It just repeats back to the other two dots in the beginning of that line. You have the same thing happening of the next page. Top line, first line, you have the two dots go down to the fourth line. You have two dots at the end. Again, you repeat that. You have the same thing on the last page three. You have the same thing happening as well. So just look out for those two dots and do the repeats as it's written there. I'm going to pitch it down a little bit. And let's stand to sing this song. And if you can, some of your bass, if you switch back and forth between the vocal lines, between bass and tenor, that's helpful. Soprano alto as well. Okay, let's stand and sing this song. The Lord is risen indeed.
Oh, the Lord is risen indeed.
Try it again. All right.
You may sit down.
Wow, felt like we were on a marathon. good stuff. Thank you. It's time for you to share a praise, prayer request, something the Lord may have laid on your heart. Raise your hand, the ushers will get a mic to you. While you're thinking about that, I think the food committee deserves a round of applause for the food this morning. I want to thank Mark and Priscilla for leading the sunrise service. Excellent. It was a beautiful sunrise. So thank you for doing that. Yeah. And, so if somebody has something for next year, let me know. We will work you in, or else we'll get Mark and Priscilla to do it again. Yes, Ken.
Yeah, good morning. In a couple weeks, Light of Hope Prison Ministry Crusade will be happening in northern Pennsylvania, and it'll be the first time Dawn and I are helping with this ministry. But just be in prayer for, most importantly, that God would move by His Spirit upon the inmates, women and men, that souls would be saved and delivered. But just pray for each of the volunteers going, singers, evangelists, and Dawn and I will be part of a group called Morning Joy. So just pray that God's grace will be upon us, that His name will be lifted up and glorified. Thank you.
I want to thank you all for praying for Karen. Just give you a little bit of an update of what's been happening over the last 3 weeks. Karen, well, for those of you who don't know, Karen was diagnosed with gastroparesis, and it's simply that. It's paralyzed gastral. So there's a vagus nerve that makes your stomach work and work the things through. That nerve is paralyzed, so food takes a really long time to get through her stomach, where I think normal is like 20 minutes or a little more than that. Hers can sit in there for 2 hours. And I don't know, these esophageal spasms that she gets, doctor told her that she'll never know the difference between that and a heart attack. If she ever has a heart attack, it is the same pain. It radiates out the arms, up the neck, in her back. Debilitating pain that happens. And she was given a pill to take that usually subsides that. And this has been, the last 3 weeks has been happening periodically, and the pill has been taken care of. But then Friday night after communion, this continued, and to talk to the doctor, and he felt like it's best that she go to the ER and get checked to make sure it's not her heart, because the pill wasn't responding, or it wasn't responding to the pill. And so it went, and it declared, it got in there pretty quickly, got EKG done and blood work and all that stuff. And the doctor there in the ER said, well, you know, your heart looks good, so let's focus on the GI. And he gave her what is called a GI cocktail. So no, she's not drinking or anything like that. But this GI cocktail was given to her like 15 years ago. This had happened one time that she went into the ER and the doctor gave her a GI cocktail. And we've been to the ER several times since that over the years and asked for this GI cocktail, and they act like there's nothing like it. They don't know what we're talking about. And this doctor walked in on Friday night. It was such a blessing. He walked in there. He said, we've ruled out the heart. He said, we're going to focus on your GI. And he said, I'm going to give you a GI cocktail. And I'm like, really? Well, this GI cocktail is simply this. It's Maalox, Benadryl, and lidocaine. So it's not something you want to drink just on a weekend for sipping tea or anything like that. But it immediately reduced the pain to a manageable level. And so she is doing much better this morning. There's still pain that she's dealing with, but at least that debilitating pain is at a manageable level. So thank you so much for praying for her yesterday, and we'll see where we go. It seems like there's no answers to why it does what it does. But I know there's some foods that she has to watch that does trigger it sometimes. And she can't eat much after lunchtime, and So that's a little bit where she's at, and she is a trooper. And she does pain like I have never seen anybody do pain. And I don't know how she does it. I don't. So thank you for praying for her. Got somebody over here? Yes, Lyndon.
Yeah, announcement. We're having another father-son gym night. It's unfortunately, I forgot to put it in the bulletin, so here's my announcement. Anyway, April the 8th, it's a Monday evening at 7 o'clock. Fathers and sons are welcome to come hang out. We're going to play games, and it'll be fun. It'll be a good time, so yeah.
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
Good morning. So I have an announcement for the youth group. If you've not heard already, we have our cafe night coming up April 12th. And we have the setup for that Thursday night, which will be the 11th, and that starts at 6. And then the 12th is the cafe night. You all are invited. We are also having a silent auction, and we will be advertising those items in like a week or two. And we encourage you, if you guys have items you want to put in, you can do so. Either talk to Landon Stossfuss or myself, and we ask that the minimum value of that item is $100. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, David. Just a reminder, we do have our covenant signing planned for next Sunday and then the following Sunday as well. So April the 7th and the 14th, during the worship time, we'll do our covenant signing for those of you that are signing the covenant. There'll be a little bit of a change in the order of service this morning. Directly following the family elder prayer, Dave will come and share the message with us. And then following the message will be our worship time and then the close of the service. So you can all stand together. Prepare our hearts for, let's stand together for a prayer. Then I'll let you sit down again. You don't have to stand through the sermon unless Dave wants you to. So. All righty, let's come before the Lord, recognizing again this morning that God is our source. If we're going to hear anything, if we're going to experience anything from Him, we need to be tuned into Him this morning. So let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for the opportunity we have to come and call You Father, knowing that you're involved with the very details of our lives, knowing that You know the things that are happening, the things that are going on in our lives, and You're wanting to be involved, You're wanting to be part of that. And so, Father, You said in your Word that we're supposed to let our requests be made known with thanksgiving. And so this morning, it is with a thankful heart that we come to You, knowing that we have a source that we can turn to, that we can count on, that knows every detail. And I know that again this morning, Lord, there are prayer requests that were not shared here this morning that need to be attended to. There are those that sat here this morning or are standing here even now, Lord, that are saying, Lord, I am in need. Father, I pray that You would reach out and touch those people. God, whether it be whatever it is for, Lord, You know the need, You know the way to minister to it. Father, I just pray that You reach out and touch their hearts to let them know that You are involved, You care, and that things will work out according to Your plan. So, Father, we release those requests to You. Lord, we thank You this morning, again, that we are able to celebrate the risen Lord and Savior. Thank You, Lord, for allowing us to be able to do that today. God, I do lift up the prison crusade that Ken talked about. Pray that You would pray. I pray for an anointing on the prison crusade. Pray for an anointing on the inmates. Pray for an anointing on Ken and Dawn as they go and they share. Lord, the words that are shared would bring forth fruit and that You would be glorified in it and honored in that. So, Father, again this morning, it is without a doubt good to be able to be together. And I pray again for Karen this morning. Pray that You would continue to minister to her body. I pray for wisdom for the doctor. I pray for the ability for Karen to be able to walk through this. Most of all, Father, we pray for healing. There's no question, Lord. We know that You can heal her body. In the meantime, Lord, I pray for strength, for courage, for boldness, for Karen to continue on in the journey that you have, they have given her or allowed for her. So, Father, we release her to you, and we release you, Lord, to do what you want to do with her. Pray for your anointing on that. God, again, as we come into this time of the hearing the word and singing together for worship, Lord, we pray that you would be with us, guide and direct our thoughts and our hearts, and protect us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Ray, I could believe that that song could be a very beautiful song. Easter morning. After the sunrise service this morning, I just felt like, man, we could just all go home. We'd worship. That was beautiful. Thank you to the Stolzfus family. You already thanked them, but I just want to say it again. But Easter is all about the culmination of the redemption story. We're redeemed this morning. Most of us in this room have been redeemed. And some of you that are here this morning maybe never were. And so I'm so glad you're here this morning, because this is the story of God's redemption. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And since all of us have come short of the glory of God, all of us are guilty of sin. So the penalty of death rests upon all of us, rested upon all of us. But Jesus came. He lived a sinless life. And he was willing to go to the cross on our behalf, so that we could be redeemed, that when he shed his blood, that was the payment for our sin. That is what redeemed us from the penalty of sin. And God gave to us the gift of eternal life, because he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So on Friday night, we met to remember. We remembered the death of Jesus on the cross. But that wasn't the end of the story. Then after he died, Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 through 60. Now when even had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself also had become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body of Jesus to be given to him. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb, and he departed. But on the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He is risen from the dead,' so the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." I love this. So they went, and they made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting a guard.
But then came Sunday morning. Luke chapter 24, 1 through 12. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain, speaking of some women that had come with him from Galilee, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this that, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified the third day and rise again?" And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all those things to the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had just happened. Probably 50 years ago, Don Francisco
lift your glad voices in triumph on high, for Jesus hath risen and man shall not die. Vain were the terrors that gathered around him, and sure the
That's the story. But that's too short a sermon to stop there, so maybe I should take a vote. So I thought it would be important for us this morning to spend a little time thinking about the significance of the resurrection.
Why is the resurrection important? And I was reminded of the story of Lazarus back in John chapter 11. And most of you remember the story. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. He had become ill, and word came to Jesus that Lazarus was sick. And he tarried. He didn't go right away. He waited, and Lazarus died, and Jesus didn't show up at the scene until 4 days after Lazarus had died. And in John chapter 11, verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And then Jesus responded to her, and he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." I'm sure there was mystery there. "What do you mean, Jesus, that he who believes in me shall never die and her brother is laying in the tomb?" And there was a lot in that moment that Martha had to accept by faith. We don't have to accept it by faith anymore. The resurrection validates the message of Jesus. Over and over again, when Jesus was ministering with his disciples, he told them and he predicted his death and revelation and resurrection. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, where they were asking for a sign, and he said to them, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Jumping forward a couple chapters in Matthew 16, 21. "From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day." Next chapter, chapter 17, verses 22 and 23. "Now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up.' And they were exceeding sorrowful." And then two chapters later in Matthew 19, "Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, 'Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again.'" And so the resurrection validates the message of Jesus. The resurrection also is the foundation of our faith. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, then jumping to verse 17 through 19. "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and our faith is also empty. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable." The resurrection is the foundation of our faith. Yes, the price of our redemption was paid on Calvary. That's when Jesus died and shed his blood. But the badge that all of that has meaning is the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead. Without the resurrection, without the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no gospel. There is no good news. It's sealed by his resurrection. And so the significance of the resurrection, it validates the message of Jesus. It's the foundation of our faith. And we're the only religion in the whole world that has a living sovereign. All of the religions in the world, their founders or their great men or people of reverence that they worship, are all dead. The founder of Islam, Muhammad, his bones are in the earth. But the founder of Christianity, we're going to see in some subsequent verses here, was seen by many, many people after the resurrection. And in fact, 60 years after the resurrection, he appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos. And this is how he introduced himself in Revelation chapter 1. He says, "I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." That was 60 years, 60-some years after the resurrection. And the resurrection is what gives us hope of eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 23. "But now Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by men also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming." And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." The resurrection is what gives us hope of eternal life, living hope, like Luke represented in the opening. Christ arose, he's coming again, and we will live eternally with him. But how can we be sure that the resurrection was real? How can we be sure that the disciples didn't just steal him away as the soldiers were conniving to get out of their punishment for the resurrection? Well, we can know it from a few different ways. First of all, the testimony of Paul. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 6. "For I have delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, then he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep." So as Paul is writing, he's talking about the fact that Jesus died and he was buried and he rose again. And then he said, by the people that he saw, he said, "And by over 500 of you, and many of those people are still alive. You can go ask them. They saw Jesus." It's also evident in the message at Pentecost, in the people that heard Peter's sermon at Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verses 29 to 32, Peter's preaching here, and he says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. And he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul will not be left in hell, in Hades, nor that his flesh would see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we all are witnesses. Peter is preaching and he's talking about King David and how King David prophesied that the Messiah is going to come through his line and that he's not going to see death. And then Peter concludes by saying, this Jesus God has raised up from the dead, and you're all witnesses. In other words, he closes his message by saying, and you know it's true. You know that Jesus was raised from the dead because you were witnesses of it. And how did it impact the crowd that heard that message? Reading on in Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000 people. That's about 8 times the amount we have in this gymnasium this morning. Why did they respond? Because they knew it was true. They knew the resurrection had happened. They were witnesses of it. They couldn't argue with it. Jesus was the Messiah. And they were struck to their hearts of what had just happened. And Peter was able to say, it's okay. It's all been a part of God's plan. If you repent and you're baptized, declare Jesus as the Lord of your life. That's what it takes to become right with God. So the testimony of Paul, the message at Pentecost, and also the martyrdom of the 12 disciples, came across this quote from a Michael Patton. Don't know anything about him, but he's writing about this. He says, there are many legends concerning the death, speaking of the apostles, which makes the historical evidence hard to interpret. Many times the accounts conflict with one another. But amidst the uncertainty, one thing is clear. The reason given for their death was the same in all the accounts. They were killed because they proclaimed that they had seen Christ die and then to have seen him alive. They all died because of an unwavering, unrelenting claim that Christ rose from the grave. They all died because of Easter. Each one was given a choice. Deny Jesus Christ or die. And they all chose death. They all had seen that Jesus had died, was buried, and he rose again. Came across this quote that I thought summed it up well. Some people throughout history have died for things that were not true. I'd agree. But nowhere in history do you find people suffering torture and death for something they know is a lie. People have died for things that aren't true, but they thought it was true. But nowhere have people died when they knew it was a lie. And so in conclusion this morning, the resurrection is real. It's real. The message of Jesus has been validated. Jesus says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only hope that we have for eternal life. but the choice is ours. Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. What are you going to do with the resurrection this morning? What are you going to do with the fact that Jesus Christ came to secure your eternal life by offering his blood as a payment for your sin? And he validated his message, and the validation of the message of the gospel is because this morning the tomb is empty. Jesus Christ came back from the grave. The martyrs died for that testimony. What is holding you back from giving your heart to Jesus Christ this morning? If you're here today and you have never publicly declared your allegiance to Jesus Christ, you have never publicly demonstrated that you too believe that Jesus Christ came and paid for the penalty of your sin, and you also believe that he rose from the dead to secure your salvation. And what better time than Easter morning to declare publicly that he is my Lord and my Savior. During the time of the worship time, if you're here this morning and you sense God's call, in fact, Peter included that in his message. He said it's for you and for all those who come in the future. This message is true. Repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If during the time of our worship time, you feel God calling you to publicly demonstrate your declaration of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I invite you to come to the altar, and one of the ministers will meet with you and pray with you. But this morning, it's the resurrection is what gives us confidence. And the only ones of us that can have confidence are those who have dedicated their lives to Jesus Christ, have established him as the Lord of their life. In closing, I'd like to read this scripture from 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, so that when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That is the confidence we could have this morning. The resurrection is real. It validates the message of Jesus. It's the basis of our confidence and the basis of our hope. What will you do with Jesus this morning? What will you do with the reality of the resurrection? Let's stand together and worship together.